for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, October the 26th, 2000. Ministers Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Frank Marzulla, Christian Covenant Fellowship, DeLand, Florida, is the speaker of the morning.
Why submission to authority?
Yes, sir.
Amen? No, authority, that's a bad word to a lot of people.
Yeah,
amen. Little children just dislike authority, and we're all little children. Teenagers rebel at authority. And many adults never grow up still rebelling. It all comes down to pride. The highest authority is God. And any disagreement with God or His Word will open the door to demons. You better believe that. God says in Jeremiah 7, verse 23, "But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." When you rebel against God or His Word, you pay the consequence. Remember, God said in Numbers 13, verse 2, "I'm giving the Canaan land to the children of Israel." Now, did the children of Israel obey His voice?
No.
They were rebellious from the word go. God let that whole generation that did not obey His voice at that time to die in the wilderness. And then God repeated that word in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 1 to 12. All right?
Amen.
"Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things that they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor murmur and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore," when you see a therefore, you want to find out what it's there for.
Okay.
"Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." Now, this was written to help us that even when things were declared in the Old Testament, it was for us. You know, some people say, well, that's the Old Testament. We don't have to obey it. Jesus quoted the Old Testament, and especially Deuteronomy, time and time again. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus went and did more than the Old Testament. The Old Testament then said that thou shalt not kill. But Jesus said, if you say you fool, it's murder. The Old Testament said that thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus went above that. He said, if you look with a woman with lust in your heart, You commit adultery. See, he went over and above what the Old Testament said. He did not throw it away. Amen? And here in the New Testament, we see that we have been admonished that when we lust after evil things, when we lust after horoscopes, divination, Ouija board, witchcraft, spiritism, or lust after the world and go into fornication, or even murmur, God's punishment is still the same. He hasn't changed his punishment. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And many of us should be stoned to death. If he were to work out the punishment that he had for fornication, stoning to death, and many would be sitting here. Amen? Or murmuring. The same punishment. And many would be sitting here. But thank God for his mercy. Amen. And that's what we have to thank him for. Amen? When anyone obeys the word of the Lord, that person opens himself to curses, which the demons delight in carrying out. Now, I want you to see this in the Word of God. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look at verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statute, which I command you today, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, also look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statute, which he commanded you. Now, when you see the word written twice or three times, do you think God really means it? He means it. You see, when we don't obey the Word of God, whether in the Old Testament or New, then we can open ourselves to curses. And if you read all the curses in Deuteronomy 28, you know that there's quite a lot of curses. All the curses imaginable. Amen? There's only about 14 verses of blessings and over about 60 verses of curses. Isn't that right? So, you know God means it. He wants obedience. He hates rebellion and disobedience. Amen? See, God's kingdom is one in divine order and authority. He has his principalities and powers and angels in set order and set in rank. I want you to turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 19 to 22. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Here we see God's angel in perfect submission to him, obeying his every word. However, there was a time when an angel that God created, who was the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, who was perfect in his ways from the day that he was created, until rebellion or unsubmission was found in him. I'm reading from Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 15. Then in Isaiah 14, verse 13 to 14, we see Lucifer, Satan, the devil, or however you want to call him. Amen?
Amen.
And God sent his word, as Lucifer spoke, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is Lucifer talking. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Satan boasted of what he was going to do. Five times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Now when we start doing our will, we're acting like Satan. When we start doing our will instead of God's will, well, we're projecting the same thing that here Satan projects in Isaiah chapter 14. Amen? Amen.
Amen, amen.
But God had the last word in Isaiah 14:15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest part of the pit. To the lowest part of the pit. See, I believe that in hell they have certain compartments. To the lowest part of the pit he had to go. You see, you're going to be judged by what you do while you're in the body. God is going to have in my Father's house so many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. God is going to judge you by what you did while you're in the body. And there's going to be a placement for you in heaven. And to the ones that are going down, there's going to be a placement for them.
Yes, sir.
There's the upper part of the pit, there's the middle part of the pit, or the lowest part of the pit. Depending on how evil you were while you were on this earth. Amen? So remember, you're going to be judged by what you did while you were in the body. The devil got out of submission and God pronounced judgment upon him. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, we read and turn there, if you please. Revelation chapter 12. With Satan went one-third of the angels in heaven. Amen? And in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4. Then I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7 to 9. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they could not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that dragon of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. When God cast out of heaven that which defiled his kingdom, he gave us the greatest example of deliverance that there is. He just casting out. In one of his newsletters, Derek Prince gave us an example of having authority and at the same time being under authority. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7. Now I'm going to tell you right now, I am not going to speak for an hour and a half. Okay? When I got something to say, I'm going to say it. Whether it takes 10 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes. No use speaking when the anointing is gone. Turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. Okay? Now when he concluded all the saying in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was worthy, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returned to the house and found the servant well who had been sick. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter my roof. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Amen?
Amen.
By saying, I am also a man placed under authority, the centurion recognized that the authority of Jesus in the spiritual realm was similar to the authority which he had in the military realm as a centurion in the Roman army. In each case, their authority was derived from submission to a higher source. For the centurion, the source was the Roman emperor. For Jesus, the source was Father God. Note, the centurion did not say, I have authority. But he said, I am under authority. He affirmed a basic principle of Scripture. To have authority, one must be under authority. I want you to write that down. To have authority, one must be under authority. See, authority flows downward. You hear that? Authority flows downward. Amen? Father God gave Jesus all authority while he was here on earth. Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then Jesus, in turn, gave us authority in his name for every situation. Jesus said in John 16:23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Jesus gave us the authority in Luke 10:19, when he said, behold, I give unto you authority, power, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, you have to remember that when Jesus said that, if we've accepted that in our spirit, then we know that we know that we know in our knower, we have the authority and power in his name. Now, serpents and scorpions are two categories of demons. Serpents can kill you. A deadly serpent can kill you, can't it? See, there are serpent spirits. There are scorpion spirits. Scorpions can torment you. Whoops, I'm sorry. Amen. Scorpions can torment you.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And so you can be tormented by loneliness, depression, despair, hopelessness. You can have serpent spirits or scorpion spirits. Okay. But we have been given the authority over all of them. A man came up to me one time and said, well, does that mean that we have authority over the ones in the second heaven, the principalities of power? What does the word say? We have authority over all the power of the enemy. Whether they're principalities of power in the second heaven, directing warfare upon cities and nations and so forth, or whether they're here on earth tormenting humans, we have the authority. But we have to use what we receive. See, that's the problem in the body of Christ. We have to use the power that Jesus gave us. And the reason why some Christians are weak, they have received the power, but they don't use it. It's like a person that comes up to me and says, oh, I'm starving. I need money. And so I go and I take my wallet out and I give it to him. I say, here, take it. He can put it in his pocket and never use it and he'll starve to death. You have to use what you've been given. Amen?
Amen.
Because you have been given the authority in the name of Jesus. Ask me anything. Ask the Father anything in my name, he says. What does anything mean?
Anything.
Amen? But we have to use that authority. And in Mark 16:17-18, Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe. But that's not my ministry. Casting out demons is not my ministry. I'm an exhorter. I'm an intercessor. That's not my ministry. Are you a believer? Then it's your ministry. These signs shall follow those who believe. And if you're not casting out demons, you better get deliverance. Because you're not going to be an overcomer. And that's what God wants us to be, as it says in Revelations. He that overcometh. Well, in order to be an overcomer, you have to cast out demons. The first sign that follows a believer, the first sign, these signs shall follow those who believe. They shall cast out demons. What's the second sign?
Speak in new tongues.
They shall speak in new tongues. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believe that's the order. When you're saved, these signs shall follow those who believe. You shall first of all get cleansed. Cast out demons. Get a good cleansing. Then be filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the order that's given in Mark. And then, start working in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lay hands upon the sick. And sometimes they'll recover. I just want to see if you were sleeping. They shall recover. Amen? See, that's the order that has to be followed. Should follow. I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit up in Gerald Durstein's camp up in Minnesota. That's where I received. I was 53 years old. Okay? I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know him. That's where I met the Lord. Amen? I received the baptism, but I yet to repent. And when I went to sleep that night, here I was in a motel room on the campground. My wife was in one bed. I was in another. And I felt like a knock at the door. I heard the boom, boom, boom. And a voice saying, Frank. I went to the door. Nobody there. I said, well, maybe there's another Frank on the campground. I went back to bed. I put my blanket on. And the voice said, get on your knees. And I knew it was my Heavenly Father calling me to repent. You say you're supposed to repent first. Well, you talk about it to the Lord. This is the way it happened to me. Okay? And I got on my knees. And I saw, like I was watching television, I saw my life flash before me. Everything I ever did to hurt my father, he showed me. And I wept. I wept. And the floor was wet with my tears. And then I felt like a great weight lifted off my shoulders. And I knew for the first time in my life, my sins were forgiven. By that time, I already spoke in tongues. I received the Holy Spirit. But I had yet to really repent. Amen? See, I was a Roman Catholic, and I used to go to confession. And I confessed my sins umpteen times, but I was not sincere. Okay? I did not make a true confession of repentance. But this time, I did. I just praised the Lord. See, we reach the Lord, we meet the Lord in many ways. Different patterns. We're not all the same, thank God. I wouldn't want the 300 copies of me. I'm glad he only made one of me. Some people wish that he never made one of me. Amen. We also see God's pattern of authority, and I'm going back to talking about authority. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Now I'm going to talk about authority in the home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Okay? Now, if you want to argue with me, with anything, argue with that scripture. I didn't write it. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. See, authority descends from God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, to the husband, and through the husband to the wife. And what is true in the home applies to all Christians. Every Christian needs the protection of being under authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, down to verse 10, Paul talks about women having their hair covered as a symbol of being protected because of the demonic angel. The word of God says, because of the angel. That means the demonic angels. Alright? But this is only one example of a principle that applies more generally to all Christians, both male and female. Every Christian needs the protection of being under proper scriptural authority. This is true, especially for deliverance ministers who come in daily contact, hand-to-hand battle with demons. Amen? Again, authority in the home, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read verse 1 and 2. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Submit. That's a hard word. And it also, again, in Ephesians chapter 5, we know that by heart, I guess. Verse 22 to 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Man, do we destroy the Word of God when we take it and start using it just one verse at a time? Amen. I know I used to beat my wife over the head with the Bible, so to speak. You have to obey me. And I would forget the other part that says, as Jesus died for the church, we're supposed to die for our wife. I gave you the example yesterday about the two goats. Amen. Are you willing to become an old goat and let your wife walk on your back? Deny your rights. And you husbands, sometimes delight yourself and quoting that scripture, you're supposed to submit. Amen. But we have to be under authority, and the authority is Jesus Christ. We see again the chain of authority. Christ the head, then the husband, the wife, and then the children. Every family should be like a church. The man is the priest, the wife is a deaconess, the children of the congregation, all in divine authority and order. A Christian man, woman, or child not under authority is an unprotected Christian and is an open target for demonic attack. Okay? This pattern also, we see that, the authority in the church. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And there in verse 11 to 13, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, these are people that Christ places in positions of authority in the church to guide and teach. We call this the fivefold ministry. Amen? The fivefold ministry is a gift from Christ. Christ's gifts to the church. Some people want to call them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. No, I say no. They're Christ's gifts. Well, isn't Christ and the Holy Spirit the same? Well, if Paul puts them down as gifts from Christ, then I'm going to say the same thing. Amen? Amen. And we're to submit. to those that have authority over us. And some people don't want to obey that. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, this is one verse that people want to destroy. Obey those that have the rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch for your soul as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable to you. Hebrews 13:17. Do we submit to their every word? We submit unless the word given to us is contrary to Scripture or bothers our conscience. Many years ago, there was the discipleship movement going around. How many remember the discipleship movement? I was caught up in it too. Then, and boy, now, is discipleship discipling people the Word of God? Yes, it is. Now, submission is scriptural. But some of the elders, some of the people, took that and ran away with it. They ran away with it. I want you to come over to my house and I want you to wash my car. I want you to paint my house. Do you think I'm silly in saying this? This is exactly what happened.
Yeah, worse than that happened.
I know that. Worse than that happened.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, you. I'm going to go to California and you have to pay my airfare. Well, I gave you my tithes. I gave you my offerings. Amen? No, I'm just telling you. You. And I want you to move to Tallahassee. I want you to do... Is that right? Am I talking right? And see, what they were doing was abusing that scripture.
They made themselves a god.
That's absolutely right. They made themselves a god. They became a Jezebel. Control, manipulation, domination. I couldn't even take an assignment and go and preach in a church unless I checked it out. You mean I can't hear from God? That's what I told them. You mean I can't hear from God by myself? Yes, but you have to check it out. That's the time I decided I was in the wrong party. I think I better change my party affiliation. Join Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. See, submission is scriptural. However, an example of true submission is Jesus submitting to his Father, or disciples submitting to Jesus. This is and was a submission of love.
Amen.
A submission of love. What these elders failed to remember, the example that Jesus gave us. He washed the feet of the disciples. He just demonstrated the key principle of Christian leadership, that the leader is to be a servant, not a master or a dictator. Amen? And we deliverance ministers need this submission and love. We need to be sent out on our mission with a covering of prayers and love by our pastor and by our congregation, and by the people that are to receive our ministry. That's a submission of love. Amen? Not a submission of dictators. When my wife and I were first called to Cali, Colombia, and this is the way it happened. We were living in Miami at the time, and I got a call from a Spanish woman. She said, I heard about your ministry, and I need to come and see you. I want to talk to you about something that happened in my family. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't have time. I'm just leaving. I'm leaving the city. I'm going out of the country. I said, however, I'll pray for the situation on the phone. You know God works on the telephone? And I said, what's the problem? She said, my 3.5-year-old son suddenly started to blaspheme, curse, and shriek, and throw himself on the ground, and so forth and so on. And I said, well, let me pray about it. And as I was praying, I asked the Lord for a word of knowledge. And the the Lord told me that it was a curse, an Indian curse. And I said, your son has been cursed. I not come against that curse. I command that curse, that Indian curse, to be bound and powerless and out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing to him. Okay? And I that's all I did. I said goodbye to the woman. And I left. I had to go. About 6 months later, she called me again. She was back in Miami. She said, since you prayed for my son, he's been healed. I said, praise the Lord. I need to come. I want to know more about this ministry. When I invited her to my house, my wife and I ministered to her. Salvation, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you know, everything. Praise God. And she and her friend that came with her went back to Cali, Colombia. And they were promptly kicked out of their Baptist church. Amen. And she called me from Cali, Colombia and said, what shall I do? I said, you join yourself to a church that believes everything in the Bible. Salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, deliverance, you know, everything. So they, no matter if it's a small church, just join it. And then she called me up from, she said, I spoke to my pastor about you. He wants you to come down. Can you come down? I said, yes, if you pay my airfare, my wife and I will come down and give us a place to stay. And so we went down there. But before we went down there, we prayed. I had my people pray. We fasted and prayed. Amen? And I asked the Lord, what are the spirits over Cali, Colombia? And he showed me, I saw it in my mind, four spirits. They were almost as tall as a two-story building. They were green in color. I said, what are they, Lord? And he showed me political corruption, witchcraft, addiction, and lust. And he said, do not fear them. I have given you the victory. See, we were praying, and the people down there were praying and fasting. Amen? See, we were being covered by prayer, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we were in Cali 5 weeks. In the afternoon, I would teach the leadership. In the evening, I would have an open meeting. And we would meet in the basement of the Aristi Hotel, downtown in the raunchy part of town. You had to make sure that you didn't have any jewelry on, take off your wristwatch, put your glasses in your pocket as you walk through the streets. You better believe it, okay? And praise the Lord. As soon as the first time I went there, as soon as I got there, before I got to the door of the Rusty Hotel, there was this man that was dirty, filthy. I thought he was probably a drunk or a drug addict or what. And he came in, and he had a full a pamphlet with my picture on it that I was going to teach healing and so forth. And he was going, yeah, you know, he was indicating, that you? And I said, yeah. And he fell on his knees and grabbed me. And he was saying in Spanish, help me. Help me. And then through the interpreter, I said, I want you to come and be here every time I'm here and obey me. Obey me. I kept repeating the word, obey me. Okay? And he did. And by the time we got through that 5 weeks that we were there, he was there, and he finally, slowly but surely, cleaning himself, went back to his mother, and he became a different person. Different person. And while we were there, there was about 150 people that came there. We were in the basement, and they used to use the basement for a nightclub at one time. We had to bind the spirits, command them to go. Little mice were running across it was a raunchy place. But by the time we got through, we had nothing but standing room only. 450 people squeezed in that little place. Amen. There was one section that were just Catholic people, priests and nuns, about 25, 30 people all in one section. I used to call it my Catholic section, you know. Amen. And they invited me to come to a home. Where did you get this power? Where did you get this power? And I was able to say, first of all, you have to be born again.
Yes.
And that's what I led them all into salvation. There was about 40 people there. There was a priest, nuns, and so forth. And they all accepted. Well, what about the power? I said, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And being an ex-Catholic, I was able to talk to them. You receive confirmation. You receive the Holy Spirit, but you're not using Him. You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, you need the power that only Jesus could give you.
Amen.
Amen? And then the Lord started to use me with a word of knowledge, and I was pointing to a man, and I told him about his wife. And I said, your wife and you are having a problem. And I didn't know his wife was sitting opposite. They were separated. Well, before the night was over, they were together.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm just telling you, the Lord used my wife and I. We went there with the authority that Jesus gave us because we were under authority.
Amen.
Okay? And we went there because we were under the authority. Because the first thing I did, I said to the pastor, his name was Randy McMillan, an American man that married a Colombian girl. I said, I submit to you.
Amen.
See? I submit to you. I will not do anything unless it's checked out by you. Okay? So, see, I was under the authority of the local authority, but I was also sent by my congregation. Amen. Amen. And so I'm saying this. We were there for 5 weeks ministering, teaching deliverance. That man that fell on my knees 3 years ago when I went to Cali, I think you were with me at that time. This man met me after church. He said, do you remember me? I said, no. He said, I'm the man. Here he was. He had a wife, several children. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm the man that grabbed you by your knees and you helped me. You helped me. But it's wonderful, you know, after so many years, you see the results of what the Lord did. Amen. See, We were under submission to the pastor of the community of faith in Cali, Colombia. Amen. And we had all kinds of miracles happen. The deaf and dumb were healed. The blind saw. The lame walk. People were coming from all over. I had a captive audience. They never saw that. They never saw slain in the spirit. It was new to them. Amen. And so now it's built up, I think it's about 1,500 people, that church. The next year that we went there, we had to go in the Civic Auditorium. Too many people. It all started with my teaching deliverance.
Yes.
You see what I said?
Yes.
But under submission, mm-hmm. Under the authority, under submission, that's where it started. See, I like to bring a seminar on submission, but I want to end it up with prayers for healing. I always want to. See, the best time to heal is after you get rid of the demons. After you get rid of the garbage.
Yes.
Okay? Then pray for healing. All right? That community of faith. Now, that pastor has, I don't know, about, I think, 10 other sister churches. There's one in Cartagena. We went there in April, right? We went to Cartagena in April in the sister church, the community of faith in Cartagena. And we had, people were coming and being healed, delivered, set free. We were under submission to the pastor in Cartagena. Amen. And my son decided to get a photo of the sinking of the Worcester ship.
Titanic.
Okay? And he blew it up to a... Here. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. See this picture? The Titanic. He blew it up to about, what, 2x3? Something like that. He had three of those made, and he put them around the sun, the sanctuary. And he started to preach salvation from this picture. See the boats there? Are you in the water? Or are you in the boat? The boat is Jesus. Amen. And he was preaching salvation from this. And people came, hundreds of people came forward for salvation. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is a good show and tell. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? Are you in the water? Drowning? Or are you in the lifeboat, which is Jesus Christ? And they had a look at that while he was preaching. Amen. So, pray. Hallelujah. The best thing to you want to learn how to preach and how to deliver and how to do, you come follow some of us that we go to these foreign countries. You learn in a hurry. You have no idea how much you have. Such as I have, give I to you. You have much to give. Our brother there, Peter, Reverend Peter there, that goes in the islands. He's doing that kind of work, going around to the islands, bringing the good news.
Hallelujah.
Bringing the good news. Amen. But see, the authority that we have in bringing the good news has to start someplace. And being willing to submit to the higher authority. Amen. Not only does the deliverance minister needs to be under authority, but also those to whom he ministers. Deliverance involves cooperation, submission to the ultimate authority, Jesus Christ, and submission to a servant, the deliverance minister. Those coming for deliverance must be in an attitude of obedience. Obey. Obey. Amen. And they must use their free will, their desire to want to be delivered. Some people can come and they want to make a God out of you. No, no, no. You have to obey. And what you have to obey is first this. The Word. And then obey the minister that God has placed over you that watches for the good of your soul. Just last week, my son got a fax directed for me because I was going down to Miami to preach. And this woman was tormented by panic attacks. Young woman, young Spanish woman, tormented by panic attacks. And she came over for help, and I don't even remember how I mentioned the Holy Spirit. I asked her to repeat, Holy Spirit, help me, or something like that. And no, I won't. And I said, you have to use your will. You have to use your will. You have to fight. You have to be willing to fight and come against it. You have to force yourself. I just want you to say, Jesus, no! I just bind that then so their eyes were shut. I command you to open your eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you. See, you have to learn the power you have, and then you have to start commanding in the name of Jesus. You have to use the power, the authority that you have received in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, I just don't want to keep going on it, but finally, I was able to get her to say, Jesus. That's the way it came out. And finally she said, Jesus. Once she said Jesus, the victory was half won. Jesus, help me. Then we were able to deliver. And the source was occultism. The source was in her bloodline. Amen? The source was. And then we were able to dig it out.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Dig it out. But after we got through, I told her, you need more deliverance. This is just a band-aid. But first you need knowledge. You need knowledge. I said, I have 4 Spanish books. And so what I did was I left those 4 Spanish books there. Just in case she didn't have money, I wanted her to read those Spanish books. Okay? Because without the knowledge, those demons are going to go. You have to have knowledge of how they came in, how to keep them out, and so forth. How to stay in the Word of God. Use your will. Decide, I will follow Jesus. I will follow the Word. I will read the Bible. Then do it. Then do it. You see, your will has a lot to do with submission and obedience. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. You want to be established? Then believe in the Lord your God. Here's the word right here. And then it says, believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. See, you have to believe the people that God places over you and obey them. You shall prosper. Now, being prosperous means that you shall not only be prosperous in material things, but in spiritual things. Having the authority to do what God wants you to do. You shall prosper. A prosperous person doesn't necessarily have a lot of money. He's one who works in the and has fruit in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, here's an example of the deliverance ministry not under proper authority. And I want you to turn to Acts. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 13 to 16. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who had evil spirits, saying, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? I remember I was in Italy, the last day that we were going to be there. We were leaving the next day. I was trying to hurry up, to finish the sermon, get rid of all my obligations, pray for the people. And a young woman came to prayer. As soon as I went near her, she fell to the floor, started writhing like a serpent. Marzullo, you're not going to win. We've been praying against you. We have a prayer meeting going against you from Sicily to Milan. That's what the voice said. Out of this young girl. Amen. They knew who I was. They knew my name. And we tried to get those spirits out. We finally succeeded in inviting her and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We couldn't do much more. We didn't have time. Okay? But the spirits, the evil spirits know. They know when you have the power. They had a prayer meeting going against me from Sicily to Milan. I found out that there's more witches in Italy than there are priests. I'm not exaggerating. More witches in Italy than there are priests. Because the priests themselves don't know about witches. Amen? All they know is the doctrine that they read, the missal. They don't know this. And the power that is in the word. Amen. Now these sons of Sceva, because they did not have the proper covering, I command, you know, I adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. Well, first of all, they didn't know Paul, and they didn't know Jesus.
Right.
Amen?
Right. That's right.
They didn't know Paul, they didn't know Jesus. They were uncovered. The scripture said, wounded and naked. That's exactly the way they were, uncovered. Naked. Naked in the fact that they're physically naked because the demons tore the clothes off of them. And naked in the fact that they were uncovered by an authority over them, like Paul. Wounded and naked. Amen? So they were really uncovered and tormented by demons that tore the life, that tore those clothes off of them. Amen. Now, I want to summarize all this. Okay? If you want to summarize it, I'm going to give you six steps of summary. Number one, to summarize why submission to authority. Because, number one, God commands it. His kingdom operates by delegated authority. Number two, He has set authority in civil governments and commanded us to obey that authority. All who are in authority are ordained by God. That's why we have a president like Clinton, who should have been impeached. But as I said, we got the president that America deserves.
Amen.
It's an ungodly nation. Okay? But at the same time, he's there, we have to obey. Number three, He has set authority in the church. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those that have the rule over you. Number four, He has set authority in the home. The husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Number five, the opposite of submission and obedience is rebellion. To be rebellious is to act like the devil himself. For rebellion started with him, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I remember ministering to a woman, and when I started to command those spirits that were in her female organs to leave, she got all shook up. What's happening? What's happening? She was feeling the movement in her reproductive organs. How? How did this happen? How did these demons come in? Were you rebellious? That's the word that came to me. She said, yes, I guess so. As a child, I was very rebellious. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Okay? Some people say, I don't understand it. They think of witchcraft as having a tall pointed hat and a pointed nose and a pointed chin and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As the devil can come in as an angel of light, can be a beautiful woman, a handsome man.
Yeah.
Not obeying, rebellious, doing their own thing. Rebellion is something that God hates with a passion. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number six. Every rebel is a recruiter seeking to entice others into rebellion with him. For example, the devil recruited a third of the angels to join in his rebellion. Okay? Those are the 6 points I want to make. You can add others if you want to. Let me ask you this, brothers and sisters. Are you out there ministering without a proper covering? Are you naked? Have you been wounded? You need to be covered. Is your ministry at a standstill? Are you a loner? Are you a lone ranger? You need to be covered to submit. Or is it possible that you need to be delivered from spirits of rebellion? Do you need prayers that God will give you a greater discerning of spirits and quicken the word of knowledge? What is it that you need? See, I believe that more deliverance ministers, that some deliverance ministers have more authority and more power to cast out demons because of their personal relationship with their boss, the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate authority. Now, if you have need, I know we've had a lot of deliverance. We certainly had a good deal of it in the last couple of days when I ministered and when our brother ministered last night. That was tremendous last night. Amen. But if there's doubt in your heart that there still possibly could be rebellion, and remember what I said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen. Or if you believe that there's some spirit that's hindering you from reaching your potential in deliverance, if you believe God called you to be, quote unquote, a deliverance minister. You see, I don't like the title a demon chaser. I like the title of a healer in the name of Jesus. Because that's what deliverance is. So if you're being hindered in any way, shape, or form, so I want you to come forward. We have time. We're supposed to quit here at 12:30, right? So we have time. Just make a line right across here. Okay? And there's something else. I believe there's a time for physical healing, too. So if you have a physical need, I want you to come forward. Just tell us what it is you want God to do for you. Amen? Now, if you want an anointing, such as I have, give I to you. If you want an anointing, to have more, to want more, to do more, let me anoint you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.